something we're testing here. We had an opportunity to get you on the radio, and we have never done a call-in on Coffee Time before. So you are our crash test dummy here. I hope it's okay.
Me, I hope that you can hear me all right.
Okay, coincidentally today we have a couple of physicians in the room, and that that will work well, because I'm sure that the thing that you are getting the most questions about will be the healthcare proposal that is before Congress.
Absolutely. So I look forward to getting some reaction from the physicians there in the studio.
Okay, good. Well, I don't know if we gave you a proper introduction here. The crash test dummy actually doesn't fit, but we have Wyoming's lone representative in Congress with us, Cynthia Lummis. So welcome to Coffee Time, Representative Lummis. Is that better?
Thank you, Joe. You know, the crash test dummy was okay, too, but thank you for clarifying.
Okay. We have also in the studio today, coincidentally, we have Dr. Tom Stamps and Dr. Ryan Firth, who are both pediatricians. And there hasn't been, at least from what I've seen in the healthcare bill, much about that end of the spectrum. The other end of the spectrum, the seniors and those on Medicare, seem to be those that will be most impacted.
I'm delighted that you have two pediatricians in the room, because as you said, most of the dialogue back here has been on the effects on Medicare, because some of the cost savings that are projected in the bill are going to come out of Medicare. An interesting scenario for Wyoming, since there are physicians that are so undercompensated and under-reimbursed by the United States Medicare system, that there are Wyoming physicians that are no longer taking Medicare patients at a time when those of us who are approaching eligibility to be on Medicare are growing leaps and bounds. So that would seem to be a completely upside down characteristic of the Democrats' health care plan. Additionally, as you pointed out, there's been a lot of talk about the costs and the $1 trillion price tag that will be incurred through tax increases and through alleged cost savings. But they're going to be borne by others in the system. So the question of whether some of those more that will be bearing those costs might be our young people is a great question, and I'd be curious about Dr. Firth and Dr. Stamps' reaction to that.
Doctors?
Well, we're sort of on the fence with everybody, I think, at this moment, Representative, and we're anxious to see where the Democrats take us. And and my reaction is just more of a general anticipatory reaction. We see a lot of underprivileged patients in this county, actually. The majority of our patient population is Medicaid, and I know that's that and Medicare are close cousins, in the at least in the reimbursement world for medicine. And so my reaction is just more sort of, I'm with you, I'm anticipating Lord only knows what, but we're certainly affected directly by this chain of events. So we're with you. We're very anxious and wondering what's going to come about and how it's going to affect us directly.
Representative Lummis, have you read through all 1,016 pages?
Well, I have not even seen all 1,016 pages, because there are three bills that the Democrats have been working on. There's been a blue dog bill, which is the more conservative Democrats that are uncomfortable with Nancy Pelosi's version of the bill. And then there is, of course, the Senate bill that is still being crafted now. So the good news about all that is Congress is going to adjourn for its August recess tomorrow. That gives, without taking action on the floor on these bills. That's good news, because that gives me and every other member of Congress an entire month back in our districts to read the bill, to get providers of health care, hospitals, physicians, insurers, and patients the opportunity to read the bill. I can get direct feedback from people who are in my state and are affected directly by this legislation during the month of August, which is what I intend to do. I'm going to be in Wyoming for the entire month of August, and I will be doing town meetings and traveling throughout the state, hoping for that very feedback. I'm going to try to print a number of copies of whatever legislation we have available to us as of August 1st and take them around with me. So if there are people who want to read the bill or read parts of the bill or are willing to read parts of the bill and provide me feedback, that is going to help tremendously. When all of us return in September, we should have a much better picture of what's in those bills and how they are going to affect healthcare in our state.
You know, we in Wyoming, traditionally a conservative state, are fortunate that our delegation with you and Senators Barrasso and Enzi are on the same page as most of the people in Wyoming. And for me, as one who is not bashful about expressing my thoughts to you or the others, it's frustrating because it doesn't do any good to yell at you guys because you're already on track. And so can we send letters to other congressmen and other senators and have any kind of input or impact with them?
And the answer is definitely. Healthcare follows people from state to state. So for people from Wyoming to contact members from other states who are either on the fence on the Democrats' version of the bill or are inclined to support it, hearing from people in other states who are concerned about the effect on their parents, their children who may live elsewhere, on themselves when they may be traveling, on the opportunity to have insurance that crosses state lines so you have a bigger pool. All of those are issues that need to be shared by people who live in Wyoming currently with members of Congress from other districts. You know, the plan that Senator Enzi has and that I ascribe to provides for that kind of portability. And the importance of accessibility and affordability are all components of Senator Enzi's plan. So rather than reinvent the wheel myself, I've tried to become better informed about Senator Enzi's plan. And the more I learn about Senator Enzi's plan, the more impressed I am with his grasp of the issues, the comprehensiveness of the pieces of legislation that he's put together on this subject over the years, and the significant role he's playing in the Senate to help reshape Obamacare into something that will actually work. Because Obamacare is oppressively expensive. It will create affordability issues. There are 31 new government agencies in Obamacare, and it covers too few. The health care will have to be rationed. I talked, for example, last weekend, and this might be of interest to the two doctors you have in your studio today. I talked to the office manager at Internal Medicine Group in Cheyenne, and she took me through actual numbers of IMG's health insurance program that they have for their own employees in the medical office. And she ran it against what we know about Obamacare and determined that it will be cheaper for Internal Medicine Group in Cheyenne to shift all of their employees off of their very high quality Cadillac version of health insurance, shift them onto Obamacare, pay the 8% penalty that they will have to pay for discontinuing their employer-offered health insurance, and still be ahead financially. In other words, it's cheaper to move people onto the government-sponsored plan, the government-dictated plan, than to keep their own insurance. That's why studies have shown that upwards of 100 million people will be moving off of their health insurance and onto government health insurance. So when the president says, if you like your health insurance, you can keep it, that's not true. If your employer decides it's cheaper for him to pay the 8% penalty and shift the employees onto the government plan, you don't have the choice of keeping your own health insurance.
But the thing about that that 8% is that there isn't a business in the land that can afford that tax. I can't.
It is a darned if you do and darned if you don't scenario. And they're putting employers in a box. How else are they going to pay for their government plan? The good news is some of the blue dogs in the House and in the Senate are really trying to push the idea of cooperatives, the co-op system, in lieu of the government plan. And I am hoping and praying for their success, because if we in this country are stuck with a federally funded, government-dictated healthcare program, it's going to be unaffordable for all of us, and healthcare is going to suffer. It's absolutely going to have to be rationed.
Have you seen, there is a form going around that has some of the excerpts from all 1,016 pages, and some of the really scary stuff. I don't call it Obamacare. I call it Obamascare plan, because I think it starts on page 425. There's a thing about people on Medicare every 5 years having to go for evaluation, and part of that evaluation will be counseling on how to maybe end their life sooner.
You are correct. That is among those 31 government agencies that is included in the bill. There's been some talk about that exact provision out here. How is that providing people a right to health?
I don't know, but it looks like Kevorkian has a job as long as he wants it.
Well, what the important thing about what President Obama has done is they've done two things to try and shift the psychological dialogue on health care. One is to say, you have a right to health care. And the way that the president defines that is, you have an obligation to have health care. And so he is using the word right and obligation synonymously. And whereas when I say, yeah, you've got a right to choose whatever health care you want, the right that you have is to freedom. Whereas the president's interpretation is, the right that you have is a duty and obligation to have health care and have it government style. That is just a very different of the terminology.
It's just socialism. It's just, they're just heaping that on. Isn't that what it is?
You know, it is surprising, and this goes down to the very basic different philosophy between Republicans and Democrats, especially the more liberal Democrats that populate Congress here in Washington. They truly believe that government is the creator of wealth, that government has to divide the wealth up fairly, the health care up fairly, the education up fairly, and the individual, in their personal initiative and discretion and freedom, are not capable of doing that for themselves. That is a true liberal Democrat philosophy here in Washington. And it is so foreign to me that it's very hard for a while to understand how you can have such chasms between Americans, and indeed there are back here, and they are pronounced. And that's why those of us who are conservative are hammering on the provisions such as the one you just described that will take away choice and freedom and individual responsibility.
There is also a provision in there that says, okay, so you are 70 years old and you have a broken hip. We estimate that it'll cost $100,000 to do that hip, and we think that you'll only benefit for maybe 5 years on that. You divide five into 100,000, that's $20,000 a year. Too bad, that's too much. You don't get the hip. You're just going to have to ride around in a wheelchair or refer to page 425 and just go ahead and croak.
It is a stunning departure from individual rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. To me, it's an assault on our constitutional rights.
How do you... You should have seen Tom's face when I mentioned that thing about the counseling on ending your life early. We should have been on TV. He was completely stunned. What? Do you have a reaction there, Tom?
Well, I haven't read that page, but your account of it is pretty macabre. And
I'll send an email to you.
I'd love to see it if that's truly a provision in that lengthy tome, then that's horrifying. If that's truly what's being implied or directly stated, that's terrifying. It's terrifying that the government would or could or would ever imagine that they could intercede into the personal lives of any of us to that extent, such that they would recommend that option at any age.
Representing Lumst, are you pressed for time? Are we still okay?
We are okay. I've got 10 more minutes.
Okay.
May I ask the physicians a question?
You bet.
Both of you deal frequently with Medicaid.
Yes.
Can you talk about your experience with comparing reimbursements from Medicaid patients, in other words, government health care, as for the poor, versus non-government
healthcare? Well, I think traditionally the non-government healthcare reimburses a little bit better. It's hard to say specifically with our clinic. I'm on my third day in our new office here, so. But I think the majority of our patients are on Medicare, Medicaid, and. You know, the clinic's actually been able to still continue to provide really good service and, you know, healthcare to all the children in the area on the Medicare and Medicaid reimbursements.
But aren't the charges, isn't that what you are paid?
Yes.
Isn't that somehow established in Washington?
Yes. I mean, we make our living off of reimbursements from insurance companies or from the Medicaid and Medicare.
Is the charge different if it's an insurance versus a Medicaid charge?
I don't think so, but I don't know for sure.
I believe our charge is the same coming out of the clinic.
The charge is the same, but the reimbursement
isn't
different.
Necessarily the same.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Did that answer your question?
It did.
Okay.
And those are the kinds of things that I want to visit with Wyoming physicians about in August. So I'd like to tell Tom and Ryan that you may be hearing from me during the course of August.
That'd be wonderful.
Reaction,
that'd be great.
From both of you.
Sure.
Thank you.
Regarding this bill and the cap and tax bill and the others that have gone through, these huge bills that you don't even get to see, yet people are voting in favor of them. I mean, I saw Conyers on TV yesterday laughing about the fact. He said, well, we don't have to read them. We just vote on them. And does that just give you the completely stunned feeling that people are doing that?
It is stunning, and especially having been a Wyoming legislator, both my majority and minority party members in Wyoming work very diligently in committees. They go through those bills. They debate them on the floor for 3 days before they vote on them. The bills in Wyoming are much better vetted than they are here in Washington, D.C., and consequently, we have better legislation, more responsible legislation, less chance of unintended consequences. We Republicans were not given the opportunity to read the 1,000-page stimulus bill. We received it in the wee hours of the morning and voted on it later the same day. The same thing happened with cap and trade. We got a 300-page amendment at 3:09 a.m. and voted on that bill the same day.
That's obscene.
That is unconscionable. And I have members, colleagues who've been here in Congress for 10 and 20 years, who say, it has never been this bad. We have never had less access to the legislation. Passing things that we have not read is unconscionable. How can we represent the people of our state through our districts without reading the legislation. So that is finally resonating with the leadership of the Democrat Party, because they haven't even shared this with their own rank and file members, let alone the entire Republican membership here in Congress. And finally, they're getting some feedback from their members saying, my gosh, you've got to let us read this stuff. And that's because the American people put pressure on their members of Congress when they went home immediately after the cap and trade vote, spent a week at home getting hammered by their constituents who said, for crying out loud, why are you voting on things you haven't read? And so that's where the American people are really making a difference in what is a runaway Congress.